one or more community development block grant CDBG applications for the 2025 program year. The CDBG program is administered by the New York State Office of Community Renewal and will make available to eligible local governments approximately $50 million for the 2025 program year for housing, economic development, public facilities, public infrastructure, and planning activities with the principal purpose of benefiting low, moderate-income persons. The hearing will provide further information about the CDBG program and will allow for citizen participation in the development of any proposed grant applications and or to provide technical assistance to develop alternative proposals. Comments on the CDBG program or proposed projects will be received at this time. The hearing is being conducted pursuant to Section 570.486, Subpart 1 of the CFR and in compliance with the requirements of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as amended. At the hearing, the town will describe types of grant assistance available from the New York State Office of Community Renewal and will seek comments and suggestions from the public as to proposed uses of community development block grant funds. The types of activities that may be undertaken with community development block grant program funds may include housing, economic development, public facilities, public infrastructure, and planning activities with the principal purpose of benefiting low and moderate income persons. Draft applications for community development block grant assistance, including possible infrastructure, public facilities, and community planning applications will be discussed. The town is considering a 2025 CFA public infrastructure application in an amount not to exceed $1,500,000 to undertake a sanitary sewer infiltration and inflow remediation project for the town of Catskill Sewer District Number 4, which serves the hamlet of Cementon. The recommended work includes a combination of cast-in-place piping, targeted spot repair, replacement, and manual reconstruction, and a limited amount of work at the wastewater treatment plant. This work would greatly increase the resiliency and longevity of the sanitary collection system and reduce flows to the wastewater treatment plant. The town is pursuing grant funding to help offset the user costs of this project, especially for low and moderate income persons who this project will primarily benefit. Documents related to the proposed public infrastructure project that will be reviewed at the public hearing will be available for public inspection at Office of the Town Clerk by request and at the town website, www.towncastleny.gov, on or before May 28, 2025. The town hall is accessible to persons with disabilities. If special accommodations are needed for persons with disabilities, those with hearing impairments, or those in need of translation from English, those individuals should contact Town Clerk Elizabeth Izzo, Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, 12414-518-943-2141, or by email at eizzo@townofcatskillny.gov, at least 1 week in advance of the hearing date to allow for necessary arrangements. Written comments may also be submitted to Patrick McCulloch, Town Supervisor, Catskill Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, 12414, until June 13, 2025.
Okay, thank you, Liz. So with that, Mark?
That's quite a mouthful, then. Yeah. My job is to explain it quickly and clearly. I'm a grant writer. I'm based in Berwick, Pennsylvania, down the Susquehanna. I've been doing grant writing since 1978. I have not worked in Greene County before, but in places like Ulster County, I've worked since 1983, in particular for the town of Ulster. I drove up through Cementon today. It reminds me a lot of East Kingston, where I did a water district project some years ago. It reminds me a lot about Kerhonkson, which is a very small sewer district in the town of Warsaw. And it's, you know, a fascinating little community to go through. And I'm here tonight because I work closely with Delaware Engineering, your engineering firm, and I've worked closely with them as a grant writer, looking at ideas that they have. We kick them around, and if I think it's worth applying for this program, I'll recommend that we do it. There are many cases I say it's not going to work, don't do it. This is one occasion I said, Cementon, based upon the census, is primarily low moderate income, which is an absolute requirement of this program. And you can do the job for $1.5 million, which is the grand ceiling, unless you have other funding, which the ceiling is $2 million if you have other funding. And it has the advantage of being rehabilitation of the sanitary sewer system, which, thinking back to where this is going on right now, my projects in New Paltz Village, they have a consent order because of I&I. They did an engineering planning grant, like you did. Mm-hmm. They came up with a recommendation, and they've been doing rehabilitation and replacement of sanitary sewer lines throughout that village for the last 10 years. I keep going back to the same well because the consent order doesn't go away. It won't go away until the DEC is perfectly satisfied that they've beaten their I&I issue. Your community is much smaller in terms of Symington, in terms of the I&I need. We have a budget here of $1.5 million. I'll get passed around some copies here from Matt at Delaware. If anybody else has a copy of the budget, I'll pass them around here. We'll pass them around. Anybody else? Okay. We have a budget of $1.5 million, and much like other sewer rehabilitation projects, it appears to me that you don't need permits. There's no heavy lifting with permits for sewer rehabilitation. And so that it's fairly simple in comparison to some other projects. If you're building a brand new sewer treatment plant, that's rather involved. So Matt is going to be fine-tuning this budget a little bit. We're going to make sure that we request exactly $1.5 million. Don't need any money on the table there. And include a healthy contingency so that we don't get caught short after we bid. This program is one that is 100% grant if you win. If you lose, you get nothing. They fund about 20 projects per year. About 4 years ago, they were getting about 70 projects and funding 20 to 25. What they've done over the years is increased the grant ceiling. 15, 20 years ago, it was $500,000, then $700,000, then $1 million. Now it's $1.5 million. The net effect is you can do more work, but the pie hasn't gotten any bigger, so the competition is more fearsome. One way that they've been weeding out the competition is upping the expectations in terms of what you have to submit to have any possibility of winning. 2 years ago, I submitted three applications in conjunction with Delaware Engineering. Those were Town of Calcoon for a water tank, Hancock Village for their wastewater treatment plant, Liberty Village for a sanitary sewer and storm drains line replacement. We got three out of three, but we had tried several times in each one. We kept trying. I kept submitting the applications at no cost to those places simply because I thought they were good projects. But what we learned from hard experience is that you have to be ready to be under construction within 6 months of getting the award. That's no fooling around. So that if we get awarded in November, December, we have to be bidding in May, June next year. You have to complete within 2 years. There's an absolute expectation that you have your environmental review process done even before you apply in July. So that next week, I'm going to be asking Liz to publish two floodplain ads because Symington's in the floodplain. I'll be going to SHPO for historic preservation comments. Pray and hope that they don't ask for any archaeology. I have to go to four Indian tribes to get the same bite of the apple. New Paltz is commonly doing archaeology, but they're a lot more historic than Symington. We go to Fish and Wildlife, I go to DEC, I go to Ag and Markets to confirm that we're not affecting any farmlands. But we have a lot of heavy lifting in terms of environmental review, including next meeting, I'm going to ask you to pass a seeker resolution for type 2 activity, which is a no-brainer for this type of activity. But I and Delaware Engineering work very closely for the last 10 years, and we know how to hit this. And what is determines winning or losing really is capacity to get the job done. So when I've done a lot of projects over 40 years, I'm a known quantity to the people in Albany. Delaware Engineering is a known quantity to the people in Albany. So when we say we're going to be under construction in 6 months, they tend to believe us because we've done it again and again and again. So it's a highly competitive program. Most anything that a municipality can do is eligible, but not necessarily competitive. Streetlights are eligible. Sidewalks are eligible. Road paving is eligible. They just don't compete well. What competes well? Serious sewer problems, serious water problems, serious storm drainage problems. Ideally, if you have a consent order, you tend to go to the top of the heap. If you have contaminated water, you tend to be more competitive. They do stress other funding, but that is kind of negotiable. You don't have a $6 million problem. You have a $1.5 million problem, which one grant will solve. So the next meeting, I'm going to ask you to do a number of things in terms of resolutions. One is to seek a resolution. Another one determines that the supervisor is the certifying officer for environmental issues. Other things that we'll be asked to do is, the state has this curious idea that we should help a low-income person in that sewer district connect to the system if they can't afford to. The chances of a low-income person owning a vacant piece of property that's not already connected to the sanitary system is pretty remote. But we have to make a promise that if you get this grant funding and somebody shows up out of the blue in that sewer district, says, I have enough money to build a house, but I don't have enough money to connect to the sewer line, we're supposed to help them out. Kind of far-fetched, but I have to keep checking off the boxes that I know from experience we have to check off to be competitive. So if anybody has any questions about what was being proposed in Symington, essentially it's a rehabilitation of the sanitary sewer system so that we can reduce INI. INI is the process where old sewer mains are leaky. They let a lot of water into the system. They overload your treatment plant during a thunderstorm or during heavy rains like we had the last few weeks. And eventually it increases the cost of sewer treatment substantially by treating clean water. The idea is to get that out of that system. So again, I'm Mark Lauer, I'm a grant writer. I'll be working with the town and with Dell Engineering the next 6 weeks to get this put together. Last year they had about 30 applications of this sort and they funded about 19. Okay. So those are pretty good odds these days, in part because their expectations have gotten so severe for upfront. Have your environmental done, and there's an expectation of some local money in the picture, too. So I'm not sure if Matt or anybody else would be able to discuss this. When we're doing applications in other communities for $1.5 million, there's kind of an expectation that you have a few percentages of your own money in the picture, some skin in the game. What's been working well in places like Liberty and Hancock and Calicoon, those winners, is that we pay the engineer entirely out of the grant. That's why you did that request for qualifications process, to make sure that you immunize that cost. You get your procurement done out of the way so that you can draw that money from the grant. What communities have been doing to show their few percentage points in is they've been covering my cost for post-approval. If we don't win, you don't win anything else. If you do win, I'm proposed to do the post-approval administrative work, which is typical with these projects. And I commonly come in about 4% of the grant. So I'm going to ask the town board to consider making a commitment that if we are approved, we're going to put in $60,000 to match the $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. And that covers my work over 2 years. Again, you don't know me very well, but you should talk to the folks at Delaware, where I've been working with them for a long time. I'm not sure if you had worked with Bernier Lars, I worked with them in Ulster County on their projects. So this is an opportunity for the public to ask questions. I would suggest that we show Liz on the record that we have a quorum of the town board and that we have a motion to open the hearing for public comments, listen to public comments, and then once we have no further comments, close the hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody from the public have any comments? Please stand up, state your name.
I have a question.
Yes.
Patty Fitzgerald from Leeds. Thank you for that. So there's $50 million in a fund. Is that statewide?
Non-entitlement areas. Okay. This money comes from U.S. Department of Health.
Okay. That's federal, right?
Federal.
Okay.
Large cities, large counties, think New York, Albany, Buffalo, they get a direct grant from USHUD, millions of dollars a year, to do community development block grant work. Large counties, think Orange County, Rockland County, Dutchess County, 200,000 population or more, they get a grant each year. So Orange County has a consortium of various little towns and villages that get money each year. So Monroe and Walden and Port Jervis, they get money. They just have to show up and they get something. Not $1.5 million, but maybe $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, because they're cutting up that pie many ways. Everybody's too small. were too small. Is it a non-entitlement as opposed to those entitlements? We get to compete for a portion of the non-entitlement money that's given to the state of New York, and they have that competition. So there's going to be a small number of winners, and others don't even apply, and any given year, there's going to be losers, so that you could have 50 losers and 20 winners, like it was 4 years ago. Last year, 30 applicants, 19 winners, 11 losers. That's the way it works.
And so for our town, there's obviously a sewer issue with cement, and then this is an opportunity to find funding for it. Is that the bottom line?
Yes.
Are you looking for other submissions, or is it kind of like this really is an opportunity to fix this big problem?
We're supposed to keep an open mind when we make these applications and to tell the public if you have something better in mind, the town board can opt for that. But the evolution is that, you know, Matt at and or maybe Alan or somebody else at Delaware Engineering said, Mark, what do you think about this project in Catskill? I said, well, if it meets the low moderate income and you've got an INI study and due for $1.5 million and you're prepared to get off the ground in 6 months, yeah, it's a good project. You should consider it. And then the town board should consider if they want me to help on that.
And the biggest thing is that it's 100% grant.
Right.
So just the folks in Cementon would have to pay any debt if we were to pull a debt associated with this.
Right.
And we already have a debt payment there, and the folks down there can't afford another payment.
Other funding is guaranteed, like USDA, but they're mostly loans.
Yep.
And nobody likes the loan. They want the grant money. And so that... communities tend to go after loans when they realize they can't get a grant.
Right.
That's the reality of the loan. And the EFC is guaranteed, but it's mostly loan. You might get a hardship loan, 0% interest.
But it's still a loan.
Still a loan. And what I've seen in Cementon, it's a tiny little place. And you've got a very small tax base. One thing I'd like to ask, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, do we have a capital reserve fund for that sewer district?
There is an O&M one, yes. I'll have to check with our finance clerk to see.
Again, from bitter experience in other communities, we were told they have this expectation that you should be putting money away each year into a fund so that when little things come up in the long-term future, a pump breaks.
Yep.
You get something minor breaks that you can go fix it. So I've had occasions where maybe the Kerhonkson Sewer District in Walt Worthing, the town of Ulster, they created a capital reserve fund for their sewer utility, just that sewer district, maybe start off with $20,000 and add $10,000 a year. And over time, they might come to me and say, we got something broke. I said, well, you got the fund.
Right.
Spend the money. This program we're working with now is for big things. When you have something small in the future, something like a capital reserve fund is the way to go. Mm-hmm. So I will demonstrate in the application that we have a capital reserve fund. I'll be using your budget, and I'll be working with Liz, because much of the argument that we make is based upon the small tax base cannot afford a loan if we had to get a loan. And I think, what, you have 100 users, perhaps?
Maybe a little under.
Less than 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could show a lot of financial stress if you can't get a grant here. So, any other comments or questions from the public?
Does the board have any questions for me?
Mike Gulish, I'm a resident of Catskill. Is this system built for growth too, or is it hamstrung that it can't grow? You can't grow on cement in Smith's Landing, whether new homes or businesses or development of any lands around it be able to accept.
I don't know off the top of my head what the capacity of the current plant is. And I don't know if the work that we're doing here is going to allow for additional. Obviously, if we're taking INI out, then the plant will be able to treat more flow coming through.
Right.
But I don't know what that number is.
Okay. I mean, let's just pick numbers out of the blue. If dry water flows 40,000 gallons a day, but there's a thunderstorm that hits 100,000, and your plant capacity is 80,000, you're out of compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you get that INI out of the system so that even when there's a thunderstorm, it only bumps up a few thousand gallons, then you've got capacity for future growth. And ideally, you want more people living in a small, older 19th century community to spread the burden.
Absolutely.
I'm in favor of infill development to get more tax rebates. Yes?
So then my question would be, like you had stated before, if somebody was going to put up a house there, and they can't, they can afford to put up a house, but they can't afford to connect to the sewer, we're paying for that? For them to connect to sewer? We wouldn't go back to them and say, well, what cuts can you make so that you can pay to connect to the sewer?
Our state government, in their wisdom, wants us to cover this point. And I've sat through loser conferences where they said, well, you didn't demonstrate that you had a provision to help low and moderate people connect to the system. So if you have somebody who owns a piece of land, who has the money for a house, there's suddenly there's $200,000 minimum, but they don't have the $3,000 to connect to the sewer. In my experience, that's not very likely. So they have to come to us and ask for money to make that $3,000 connection, prove that they're low moderate income, and also be able to prove that they're going to build a house and own the land. I've never seen this happen yet.
Now, is it just a stub, or do we have to connect all the way into the house?
In theory, you'd go from... If you don't have a stub for that vacant parcel, mm-hmm. you put one in, you would and run the line from there right to the house.
Okay.
But I have yet to see that.
Right.
Again, it's, you know from experience that if you don't say this, somebody reviewing the application is going to give you less points. And sometimes the winning and losing is a matter of a handful of points. And sometimes I've won because we've filled that little, you know, like the Dutch boy at the dike, we filled the gap with our finger to find some way to give them what they wanted. And so it might be a capital reserve fund if we didn't have one. It might be throwing a little money in when before we weren't asking, we weren't committing any local money. It could be that type of resolution. All those types of things become factors. And so if I thought this was a really difficult thing where you're going to be putting out a lot of local money, I would tell you, I just never seen it happen. But I want to make sure you have the best fighting chance.
Thank you. Brian, did you have something? Mark, so when we did the Jefferson Heights sewer project, the Bank of Greene County partnered with, what was the town and the village, per se,
mm-hmm.
to allow the residents to get a zero interest loan to hook up to the sewer system. Is that a plausible idea for this situation too, as a backup?
With an existing sanitary sewer system, it's rare to find anybody who's not connected. Do you think anybody in that area?
Well, I'm talking for new construction.
Oh, new construction. If it's just new construction without any government assistance at all,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's somewhere else, let's say it's Leeds and somebody's building a house, and they need some help connecting to the sanitary sewer system. I'm sure that kind of mechanism would make sense because there's no federal money involved.
Right.
So how you handle that's your business. What I'm commonly doing in New Jersey, where on the shore we have a lot of saltwater intrusion, I might have a new public water system coming in or public sewer system coming in, and I've gotten specific grants to help dozens of people make the connection. But there's no existing connections in those cases.
Hmm.
There's no, they disable the old well, they disable the pressure tank, they put the water line in from the curb stop into the house, they reconnect the plumbing, or in one place on the Jersey Shore, I'm giving out money to help people disable their old septic, bust the top out, fill it with sand, make the connection to the street, $2,000 to $3,000 a pop. But in your Symington district, I'd be surprised if there's anybody on a septic who's not connected to the sanitary sewer system.
There's probably one new user been added in the last 15 years.
Sorry. Right. I didn't see a whole lot of vacant parcels that could be developed in there.
I was just thinking if we get awarded this, maybe during the whole planning process, we can look at what a buildable lot is, if we have any down there, and then just stub it.
Yeah,
because that's what we did in Jefferson Heights and in Leeds. Any buildable lot has a stub.
It's really common, and it's a good, wise thing to do because you want to encourage infill development. to get more ratepayers to that system.
Okay. Any other questions? Ted, you got anything? Good.
I'll be sending you a barrage of forms, a barrage of resolutions, the flood ads. So the next few weeks in June, we're going to be doing a lot of things that in July we can do the application without a lot of chaos.
Got it. I like it. All right. Motion to close the public hearing by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go into our regular meeting. We have minutes from May 6th and May 21st to be accepted. Could I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by JR,
second
by Jared, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. We received correspondence, Green County Resolution, mortgage tax, Catskill portion, $123,255.12. Green County Resolution, awarding bid purchase materials, Highway Department. New York State DOT culvert repairs on 385. This is just north of the transfer station. We have a little parcel, a little section in the town of Catskill. I think this is going to be in 2026 and 2027. We received a public hearing notice from the town of Stockport for June 10th, 2025, 7 p.m. for local law short-term rentals. The town of Westerlo has sent us an invitation for an in-state parade Friday, July 4th. Continuing business. Ted, revisions to the town code, local law 4, 2025.
So we have, a couple weeks ago, we passed the personal wireless facility law, which was a brand new law. We have four chapters in our code that we're looking at tonight. The battery storage law, the solar energy systems law, subdivision, and zoning. So we had public hearings on these. We took public comments. We closed the public hearings. Do you want me to just quickly summarize what the changes are? So the battery storage law is the major change we made, is that there are no large-scale battery storage facilities that are allowed within 3,000 feet of a residence, a school, or a senior housing. Solar energy law, the major change of some typos. We're always fixing typos and making language more clear. The major change to the solar energy law is that if you have a large-scale solar farm that you have to, that's being proposed, you have to give a notice to neighbors within 1,000 feet of the proposed site for the solar farm. Subdivision, just tightening up some language. I don't think we're doing anything real earth-shattering with the subdivision law. Like, for instance, and there's a number of these kind of minor changes. So, for instance, we streamlined our subdivision law to allow the building code inspector to improve lot line improvements, make lot line adjustments without having to go to the planning board. So that was something we did last year. We have a scenario that comes in front of the planning board every once in a while where somebody wants to apply for a subdivision and they have a lot line improvement at the same time. So again, to streamline the process for the applicant, we're amending our law to allow the planning board to also approve the lot line application if the lot line application is made at the same time as the subdivision application. So we're always trying to be, increase our user-friendly ability for the people that come in front of us. So there's a number of relatively minor things, that adjustments that we made to the subdivision law. The zoning law, the major changes to the zoning law, we increased the construction storage ability to have a construction yard and storage. We've increased that, so now it can go into RA districts and medium residential. We also have new definitions. We never had a definition for a campground before. It's always good to have definitions when an applicant comes in front of us. You know, what's a campground? I mean, we know what a campground is. If you don't have a definition in your zoning law, you look at the dictionary. But it's always good to have, these things spelled out in our definition section of our zoning law. So now we have a campground definition. And then last but not least, really the only thing that generated a lot of discussion about, you know, any of these revisions is the commercial recreational use. And so now we have proposed a definition for commercial recreational use. Well, what's that? What's a commercial recreational use? That's actually hard to define. It's not necessarily something you would see in a dictionary. So what a commercial recreational use is, indoor commercial recreational uses include, for instance, a bowling alley, skating rink, tennis courts, these things that are operate for profit. And then for an outdoor commercial recreational use, a golf course, batting cages, playing fields, driving ranges, so anything that's recreational that, again, is for profit. Where the interesting issue comes in is what ancillary uses are you going to allow with your commercial recreational use? So somebody, let's say somebody is zoned for a bowling alley. The bowling alley, traditionally, in my experience, is bowling alleys serve beer, and maybe there's a little bit something to eat at the bowling alley. What you have to be aware of, and what you have to be, hopefully you don't want to happen, is if you have some place in your town where a bar is not, it's not zoned for a bar, it's zoned for a commercial recreational use, so somebody wants to put miniature golf in. So they put a miniature golf in, they also have a bar, and people go and they drink till 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're not playing miniature golf, they're drinking. So there's a loophole that's created when you have a place in your town that isn't supposed to be zoned for a bar. So the question that comes up is, what language are we going to adopt, which is hopefully going to prevent that, where somebody is, instead of going to the bowling alley to bowl and have a beer, they go to the bowling alley and they drink and they don't bowl. Now, I've probably done that myself once or twice, but the potential is that could be a problem. So we've had some discussion. The board is, it's an interesting topic. We want to do the best that we can. The board has had some discussion about this. I provided some language for the board to consider. Right now, what the language says is, an indoor recreation use may include accessory uses such as food service facilities, meeting rooms, serving of alcoholic beverage, video or computer game facilities, video theater facilities, sale of sport or exercise related equipment or clothing to be used by the patrons of the commercial recreational use during or immediately before or following scheduled events or activities, and not used by the general public. So it is always impossible to draft language that's going to answer every single scenario, because as soon as we adopt this, 3 days from now, something's going to happen, and we're going to say, geez, we didn't button that up. So, you know, you have to be, there's always a balance. How long do you want your definitions to be? Do you want your definitions to be 700 words? or do you want your definitions to be short and concise? I always like to err on the side of being as short as possible, short and clear. You know, sometimes you can do that. So sometimes you can't. So that's the my introduction to the commercial recreational use. Is there any, you know, any thoughts on that language? You can always say no alcoholic use. I mean, that's a possibility also.
I'm fine with it. We've been going back and forth with it for two and a half weeks now, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Jerry, you agree with that?
It looks. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of buttoned it up pretty well. So, so if that's acceptable to the board, I provided the board with CECRA, the CECRA review, the parts one, two, and three. The parts two indicate that there's no. Impact, no environmental impact, no or small environmental impact to the criteria that we're supposed to look at for our environmental review. So if that's acceptable to the board, we would need a motion for a negative declaration.
Have a motion for a negative declaration?
A motion.
Motion by Jared. Second?
Second
by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
And then if you're ready, the adoption of all four of these code chapter revisions would be local law number four. And if you're ready for that.
Everybody ready for
that?
Okay. I have a motion to adopt local law number four of 2025.
I'll make the motion.
Motion second. By Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you,
good.
Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you to the planning board members and zoning board members for working on this for the past couple months. And the public. All the input we received from them. All right, moving on. We have a proposal from Delaware Engineering. It's actually $3,500, not to exceed $3,500. This is to help write a grant to redo our comprehensive plan. We did it last year. We were not successful. This year, we hope to be successful. The plan is to have Delaware Engineering working with our zoning and planning board chairpersons along with our state representatives to strengthen our application. This way we can finally redo our comprehensive plan. It's been 10 plus years, and last I knew it was about $150,000 to do it, so we could definitely use this money. Can I have a motion to authorize me to sign this agreement?
I'll make the motion to authorize the supervisor to sign the agreement.
Motion by Jared. Second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. The highway superintendent would like to post the positions of two MEOs. Can I have a motion?
Make a motion to post two MEOs.
Motion by Jared. Second. Second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Jared, do you want to take this one?
Yep. We got quotes. The cemetery tractor needs a weight box and pallet forks. It's going to make Mark more efficient up there, especially it's not really safe the way they've been adjusting tombstones with the tractor. So got prices, and I'd like to move forward with the purchase of the weight box and the pallet forks out of perpetual fund interest.
Okay. Any discussion? Have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Brian, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Mark's getting a lot of good equipment up there.
Yep.
It's making it much more efficient.
And he's taking care of it. They're taking pride in the cemetery and in the ball field. We have a request from HOKA for their annual $2,500 sponsorship for Music in the Park. This isn't our celebration.
We put it in our celebration. I'd make a motion that we approve the funding of $2,500.
Motion by Jared, second.
Second.
Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Next up is an agreement with the Village of Catskill for cannabis sales sharing. the proposal is to do an 80-20 split, which is 80% to the village and 20% to the town of Catskill. This is only for cannabis sales tax revenue that's generated in the Village of Catskill. So right now there's one dispensary. Well, I think this is
easy.
This is fair. Any discussion?
No.
Motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. That is it for the official agenda. I'll open the floor up to public comment.
Pat, I know some of us showed up here. We're thinking about this good cause eviction of legislation that you guys may be looking at, that the village already has done. And I'm wondering when conversations about this will take place.
So we had two public hearings on it, and the board voted at our last meeting to table it.
Okay.
Right now, we are not acting on it.
I would like you to know that I am vehemently opposed to any of that taking place. I don't know if anyone else here is, but I am opposed to it as a landowner and a landlord. And I think we have enough regulations and rules that help tenants, and there aren't any more that are needed.
Okay. Noted. Thank you. Anybody? Pat?
Hi. First of all, the Memorial Day parade is fantastic. So I just wanted to commend everyone that was involved. I really enjoyed it, my son and I. And I have to run to Mark Molinaro down at the ceremony. And I did bring up to him because he had secured the funds for the lead sidewalk storm drain project. And he was really adamant that the funds were secured. I mean, there's no other, and that they should be in the budget. And there was an estimate would have been in terms of the timeline done. So I don't know if there's sort of another
it's,
direction to go.
You got all four of your legislators right there.
Oh, hi.
We represent Green County as four legislators, and it's a great question. We have conversations about that. We expect Bart and Little Judas to be at 75%, 70%, 80%. At that time, they will bring this to a public get-together, public forum for everyone to see what the plans are with the sidewalks, how the parking would take place, and the drainage
that will occur
in the East District. But anyway, that is taking place, so expect that this summer there will be some public comment, public hearing for that project.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat.
Yes, sir. State your name, please.
My name is Bill Buck. I own the land over there on 23A. Been in our family roughly 12, 13 years, me and my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad to hear about this construction thing. That was part of my questions here tonight. We've talked to Matt as far as the variance going with the piece of property. He's told us that it does numerous times. It's been going on for almost 2 months now. Ted, he tells us that the letter is sitting on your desk, and we're just like, where? We can't get an answer from nobody. Matt won't call us back. I haven't called you directly, but the beans that are here.
I don't know what letter is sitting on my desk. What I can tell you is that Matt and I talked about this not too long ago, in the last couple weeks probably, or the last month, whatever. My recommendation was, and again, I'm just going by memory, I don't have any of this here, but my recommendation was that your use of your property, I don't know, how many years ago was it?
It's been a lot.
8, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. It was granted with the condition that you had to go for a variance, got that right?
No, that my son went for a building, and they told him that he would have to go for a variance if he wanted the building. But I was there years before.
Okay.
My business has been there for 8, 10 years.
I will call you if you give me your phone number.
Okay.
But I wish I had the thing right in front of me. But I had at some point, I had the thing in front of me. I forget who the heck signed it,
right.
But it was whatever, 10 years ago. And it said, this is approved condition on granting a variant, getting a variance to continue.
When I was there, there was no variance. It was no, and we don't even have to come to.
All right, well, we can talk.
Yeah.
But my advice was to Matt, to relay to you, was that in order to button this thing up, you get your variance, and then you're 100%. I know that you might be selling it, or you were thinking of selling it. Whatever you're going to do.
Right.
So the next person comes in,
right.
and there's no
right.
question.
Right.
You don't have this piece of paper
exactly.
hanging out there that says, you know, you're supposed to do X,
right.
Y, Z. So,
last he told us is the letter is sitting on your desk.
I never wrote a letter, but if you give me your phone number, I'll call you.
All right.
518-821-5522. 5522. Okay.
I mean, your wife has been my attorney for years.
I know.
She excused it because of you,
right.
and I was like, why?
So I'll give you a call. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Any other public comment?
You have one.
Yes, sir.
The last meeting about a month ago, Ted Jared said that there was 27 construction businesses that were illegal, and Ted made a comment that they were grandfathered. When is the grandfathering? Like what year? How are you working that?
Well, the definition of grandfathering is you have something that is not allowed now, but before the current law was passed that makes it illegal, the thing existed lawfully. So, you follow? So, if you've got something you're doing that's not zoned, but it was legal before the current zoning went into effect, or whatever the current restriction is that prohibits what you're doing on your property, as long as you were doing it before that law went into effect, you're grandfathered. And you're always grandfathered. Grandfathered lasts forever. As long as there's no interruption in your use of that land. So if you're running a gas station and the gas station isn't zoned for your property anymore, but it was in operation before the zoning law, that person can continue to operate a gas station, and
so
they can sell the gas station, and the next person can continue.
So my other property leads next to Bill's. I bought it in 14, used it for construction the whole time. When I went for a permit to put a building up, it just was a debacle. And so my grandfather then, I didn't have to go through any of this?
I don't want to give opinions, but I'll look into it.
Because it'd be the same with Bill.
I don't want to give opinions, you know, when I haven't thought about something, but I'll look into it and I'll get back to you. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? So I have a lengthy update for Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm going to try not to make it lengthy. So I've been on the phone with Department of Homeland Security for federal, Department of Homeland Security in the state, DEC, DOH, almost every state and federal agency you could think of. We've been trying to come up with a way to rectify the issue on Pennsylvania Avenue. The town board met a couple weeks ago. We declared an emergency as per DEC. We filed for an emergency permit. DEC denied the permit because the town, we simply can't afford to buy the material, the pipes that they want us to put in there, and we can't get them. So unless we put in exactly what they recommend under this emergency permit, they were gonna deny it. So we pulled our permit. We submitted a request through Greene County EOC for a temporary bridge through New York State Department of Homeland Security. That was at the recommendation from DEC. That request was denied within 30 minutes of its submittal because we have to go after local resources first, which is Greene County, and after speaking with the highway superintendents, the one bridge that they have is not big enough for the area that we need to cover. And it's the county's only bridge for how many square miles that the county has in bridges. So I don't blame them for not wanting to put that bridge, even if it would fit on Pennsylvania Avenue with their other infrastructure throughout the county. So the other avenue that we have is to possibly rent a bridge. And we were provided contact information from a company in Pennsylvania Sean Beers, the highway superintendent, reached out to them. They gave us a rough estimate that would be about $3,000 for a delivery and setup fee, and then roughly $26,000 a year for us to rent a bridge. I would anticipate that that bridge would be there for more than 2 years. That's if we're awarded a grant to fund a full replacement. We are going to submit the Resilient New York grant this Friday is the deadline. So hopefully we get that, but we're still 3 years out if we get a grant before we're able to open that road up with a new culvert. I received a phone call yesterday from the commissioner for Homeland Security in New York State, and she told me that she was going to go up there and look at this area herself to see if the state can actually help the town of Catskill. I haven't heard from her today. I'm hoping tomorrow. But either way, I think one way or another, it's going to be a temporary bridge for now. And I think that the town is going to be on the hook. It'll come out of the highway budget, which we have the money in the highway budget. But it's also going to mean that, you know, we're not going to be able to patch some roads or do other work that the highway department does, because that money is going to have to be reallocated to the Pennsylvania to rent that bridge.
You have a dollar amount that you're looking for? The cost?
It's going to be roughly $26,000 a year.
Yeah, but the actual right construction.
The study that Resilient New York did last year, I believe, is between $500 and $1 million
okay.
for replacement.
Is that rechanneling up there?
We are not allowed to rechannel it anymore because the stream has been like that for over 10 years now. DEC considers that its natural path. So the only thing we can do is put it.
Did they declare Irene and Sandy unnatural?
Yep, so that was back in 2011, I think, or 12.
No, but that was the root cause of it.
Right, and I was, we had to ask the guy from DEC to repeat himself a couple times. Sean was there.
Sure.
Doreen, a couple of the neighbors were there, the Panville fire chief there. Because that was one of the things that we know we need to do. We've talked about it. The public's talked about it. We need to go up into the actual channel itself and put it back to where it's supposed to be. But DEC says that since it's been flowing this way for more than 10 years, they consider this its natural path. And we just have to build a structure big enough to accommodate this flow. So my question to him is, what does that look like then? Because the study that was done 3 or 4 years ago, every time it floods, it's worse. The channel gets bigger. The damage that it does is more. Are we going to have a 50-foot culvert there? Because they keep on saying they don't want to put a bridge there. But are we going to end up with an arc bridge that connects the two box culverts that's, what, 100 feet in span? You were there, too, that day.
It's a temporary bridge gets washed away. Who's responsible? Either us or...
That's one detail that we absolutely have to work out. We're in the early stages.
My first question was, how much is the insurance?
Yeah, that's what I asked. Yeah.
Yep. We're in the early stages of that. I've never rented a bridge before. Neither has Sean. So this is first for the town of Catskill. But it's been a.
What's the fine for putting stream back street?
What's that?
What's the fine for putting stream back street?
I don't know, and I don't want to find out because we can't afford it.
The permit was $1 million, right?
The permit alone was $1 million.
The permit's $1 million, so.
So it's been a frustrating when this happened, almost 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, what intensifies it more now is that Ulster County side is going to be closing down their side to redo the bridge on that end. So then there will be no ability to get there if we don't put the temporary bridge on.
Are they going to make that bridge more rate capacity or the same?
I think they're going with the same 10 ton.
We can't do that.
So per
the weight.
On that side, right, they're in the very early stages. They're not going to start construction until late 26, early 27. But we will be nowhere near ready to do anything permanent solution on our side of Pennsylvania Avenue 26, 27. Even if we're awarded a grant, we're talking 27, 28.
You couldn't work with them and make it a higher capacity weight limit than not through this bridge?
The talks have been there to close this off. I'm reluctant on that. I think we need that open. I know Jared says close it. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I know there's only five houses there for the town of Catskill, and I think there's one in Ulster County. So there's only six residences. But it's six residences. With one, it's a one-way bridge.
No, I mean, if they make the other bridge wider and more weak, it doesn't take that long to go around.
But they were, and, right, so I get that. If they were going to upscale that bridge, make it bigger, wider, two lanes, 20 tons, sure. But they were awarded a grant already to replace what's there.
2 ton.
So 10 ton.
Two.
10. It's a 10 ton limit.
What about that?
Yeah.
The fire truck.
According to Chip, that's 10 ton. He needs a 15 ton limit. I spoke with him in depth the other day about this. So that's where we stand with Pennsylvania Avenue. They should have started work on Game Farm on Monday. So yesterday. So we're the same with that. That's all I have.
I don't know. I think I shared it with you, but I did go out. I spoke. I'd like to get with the school and do like a 5-7 year plan with Ricky Grammer for upgrades. The first quote I got is to fix the infield. So once maybe the school has a leader, we can get a meeting together and we can discuss our budgets down the road so we can plan. The new infield will be about 52,000. So I'd like, obviously we're not gonna pay for the school uses it, so it should be a shared. So my plan is once the school has their new superintendent and everyone in place, we should have a meeting to discuss upgrades to Ricky Grammer over the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the long-term plan would be the new infield, PA system, lighting, and then we're done.
Mickey?
My only issue with that is just being a baseball player, and all the kids going through there, you can have all the PA system you want, but if the coach doesn't have the key to get into the thing, and he doesn't ever have the key, and then they blame each other, and you come to the games and nothing gets announced. The scoreboard that you spent all that money on has not been turned on in the last four games because they don't have the system. They don't have the system because it's not been there. That's the issue. We could do all this wonderful stuff, but I'm telling you, if they don't get their heads on straight and at least have a key, hide it. Do a hide a key, something,
well,
so that when you have a game.
They have keys.
They could put a lockbox there and put the code on it.
I know, but it's just... I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that until you just mentioned it.
The last four games wasn't even turned on because they don't have the system. Is the box for it is upstairs, and the coach is on the tape. You know, that's.
I will say too on Jared, the field, it's a great idea. I mean, 10 years ago I went up there and we redid that field. It's looking really good, but it takes diligent maintenance. And at the time, your cemetery crew didn't have that maintenance structure in their head to properly maintain a baseball field. Neither did the school. And so it just deteriorated, and that investment and that time, in my opinion, went to waste. Yeah. You have to make sure, if that's what you just decide to do, that there's got to be proper training on how to maintain that properly. The edges and everything. And it can be maintained. Okay. And once they get used to it, you know, you can do it, but if you don't do that part, it'll be wasting money.
The Valley Cats came down and did it with us, they put a lot of money into it and a lot of time, and their crew came down. But like you said, then you have, the maintenance crew coming over and lining the fields, and if they don't know how to take care of it, I mean, that was a big project.
Yeah. No, I will say this: our guys and the school guys did a great job this year.
Yeah.
Tim from the school and Mark both worked very well to get it as good as they could get it this year.
I will say it looks pretty good this
year. There's a big drainage problem there. It holds too much water. It holds a lot of water. They dig out the entire thing, put in new drainage and everything.
Yeah. It's drainage, probably sprinklers. Honestly, if you're gonna have real grass, you're going to have to sprinkle certain times of the year, otherwise that grass, that good grass, is going to die on you.
Yeah, there's not really grass up there right now.
Yeah, it's
It's Clover.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, my point is I want to sit with the school and get a long-term plan for everything up there.
Absolutely.
Because that is actually your only old field now.
Okay. Anything else? Liz, am I forgetting anything? I think so. All right. Motion to go into executive session to discuss a personnel matter. We will not be making any decisions when we come out. We will close the meeting. Motion by JR, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, everybody.
Aye.
See you guys.
Thank you.